Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and SiriusXM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Well, when was the last time you had a heart-to-heart conversation with the men in your life about their next doctor's visit? Men, when is the last time you've gone to the doctor for a checkup? Well, 30,000 men die from prostate cancer every year in the United States. Tonight, we will discuss the importance of men staying vigilant in regards to their prostate care. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you, your questions or comments. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Joining us in studio to help further move this conversation along and give us some insight is Dr. Oladunni Falani, Doctor of Family Medicine with Howard University Hospital, Clinton Burnside. He's the Senior Outreach Coordinator with Howard University's Cancer Center. And also in studio, it's Mike Smith. He is a former patient with Howard University's Cancer Center and a prostate survivor. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Falani, let me start with you. I threw that statistic out. 30,000 men die every year in the United States from prostate cancer. Why are we losing so many men to prostate cancer?
Thank you so much for that question, and thank you so much for having me here today. It is important to understand that when you look at the statistics itself, you have to look at it in the context of cancer as a whole. Prostate cancer is the second commonest cancer amongst men and the second leading cause of cancer death amongst men. And so the problems with prostate cancer is even though there's a lot of research in prostate cancer, there's still a lot that needs to be done to understand the disease and to understand its processes. There are certain risk factors that we know that exist right now. One is men above the age of 50. Two is being an African-American man puts you at a higher risk of prostate cancer. We also know that there are genetic factors. If you have a first-degree relative, someone in your family who has a history of prostate cancer, your chances of getting prostate cancer is a little bit higher as well. So it's important for people to know and be educated on what their risk factors are, what their family history is, and some of the other things that are environmental factors that we can't even determine right now. But it's important for you to know what's around you.
Clinton Burnside, the numbers really are startling. And if we just sort of zero in on the African-American community, again, African-American men, as Dr. Falani was saying, are more likely to get prostate cancer, 60% more likely. And so when you're talking about educating and getting them to the doctor and knowing what's happening with their health, that's what you're trying to do.
Yes.
That's an uphill battle sometimes, right?
Absolutely.
And how do you get up that hill?
Well, I think the key is not waiting for them to come to us, but actually going to them, meeting them where they are. And not just that, but talking to them in a language that they understand, so that they understand what their risk factors are and kind of what some of their options about doing something would be. I can't begin to count the number of men that I encounter that say, well, I don't know anything about it and I'm fine because I don't know anything about it. Well, part of what I do is help them to understand that, well, you may not know anything about it, but let me share this with you to help you at least start thinking about it a little differently. And even if you don't want to go and do something for yourself, think about your family members. So there's always a way that you can reach them, but you have to understand where they are and meet them where they are.
Mike Smith, you are a cancer survivor. Tell us about how you discovered it and going through the process and the treatment.
Thank you for the opportunity, Bramante. First, let me correct something. I like to consider myself as someone who's living with cancer. Mm-hmm. My cancer has not been mitigated yet. It's part of my struggle. And I first learned about prostate cancer early on in life. My father comes from a family of 13 siblings. And many of the men, my uncles, had prostate cancer. My cousins have prostate cancer. I have If my father had 13 siblings, you can imagine how many cousins I have. Mm-hmm. So they've all been touched by this plague. It was just a matter of time, I thought, as a young man, that I would also succumb to this issue. I was just talking to these gentlemen in the waiting room how I felt that my diagnosis was relatively late in life, at the age of 67. I expected to be diagnosed early on.
Were you getting regular checkups, knowing all the information that you had? And you're laughing like, I almost know the answer. You had all the information, Mike.
I was a pre-med student here at Howard University, so I was predisposed to genetics and understanding the impact of illnesses and not doing anything mm-hmm. when you know that there's a history in your family. So I was very proactive. I met Clinton Burnside a number of years ago. He might not remember, but I used to come to the Howard University Cancer Center for pre-screening. They offered it every month.
Yes.
Without charge. Even though I have medical insurance, I took advantage of that. I would go at least twice a year, sometimes three times, because I was charting my PSA, my prostate serum antigen level, each time I had the test done, because I wanted to see movement, either down or up, preferably down, but last year, or actually in 2017, I noticed an increase. I went from about 3.5 to about 6.
But you were getting regularly tested though, right?
Oh yeah.
Correct.
Oh yeah.
And so Dr. Filani, Mike is getting regularly tested. We know as men, you know, I've had a prostate exam, and some men don't want to go in because of what that exam is. And if folks don't know what it is, you know, the doctor starts from the backside and goes there to feel and find the prostate and see what it feels like. How do you get over that stigma as a doctor? And Clinton, I can even come back to you and your community outreach of convincing men, look, this is just part of the process.
So the Mr. Smith's story is actually fairly classic for prostate cancer. His age, a time of diagnosis, and the fact that he was knowledgeable about his family history with regards to first-degree relative. The key thing, as we were talking in the waiting area, like Mr. Smith said, one of the things I said is it is important that people be educated about where they are mm-hmm. and what their risk factors are. You know, we're not going to sit down here and say the screening for prostate cancer is in itself benign, meaning it's not something that's simple. Mm-hmm. And there are the statistics do show that a lot of men live long with prostate cancer. And like Mr. Smith said, he's someone who's living with it. So the key thing here, and as in our role as doctors, we are to engage in that conversation with our patients, letting them know what are the risk factors for the disease, what are the potential problems from the diagnosis, what are the potential problems from the screening itself, because the screening sends you down a path that may not necessarily be where you want to go. But not knowing at all is not the answer. Not understanding where you are, where your risk factors are, is not the answer. And so the one of the key recommendations for us as physicians is engage for patients who are above 50, engage in that conversation on a regular basis. Give them information. Let them make a decision. Like I said earlier, outside, physicians are guides. The patient is the expert in their own health. And it's important for them to make educated decisions based on information that's available to them.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about men's health tonight, specifically prostate cancer. We'd love to hear from you, your questions, your comments. Let's go to the phone lines right now with our next caller. Mark is calling, and Mark is surviving and living with cancer at this time. Go right ahead, Mark.
The only reason I really wanted to call in was to thank you for bringing this discussion out loud, because I went to the doctor because I hurt my shoulder, and the nurse practitioner said, how old are you? And I said, 50. Well, let's check your PSA level. I didn't even know what that was, and they came back at a 4.6. I was referred to a urologist. I had an MRI, and I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. I had no idea it was there. If I hadn't hurt my shoulder, I would still not know it was there. So I'm just grateful that you're having this conversation with men, because if it weren't for my situation, I would know nothing about it. I wouldn't have known what to ask for as far as being tested. And because I had a heart attack in 2015, and I've been on blood thinners for about 4 years now, I can't do radiation. So on June the 11th, I'm having my prostate removed. So my whole point of calling in is to tell all men, check your prostate. It's not a joke. It's not going to automatically get better. You have to know where you are. And I could have gone for years with no knowledge if that nurse practitioner had not asked me how old I was, then let's check your level. And that is how I was diagnosed. It never crossed my mind.
Thank you so much for the call. Clinton, he sort of hits on some things here, right? He kind of stumbled into it, and I'm sure that's something that you have to deal with all the time, of try not to stumble into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I'm grateful to hear that you at least answered the question correctly in terms of your age, and that prompted them to do more. But I think one of the success stories here is just the early detection. And that's what we really want to kind of drive home to men, is that whether you're having symptoms or not, it's important to have these discussions with the doctor, like Dr. Filani said, so that, you know, you can kind of explore it a little more. And we want to catch, we may not be able to catch all prostate cancers early, but for some of the men who don't have symptoms and things like that, we want them to go in and get checked as often as they need to, and to do it early, because when it's caught early, you have more options in terms of the treatment.
Dr. Filani, first of all, what is PSA level, and what are some of the symptoms for men out there who may have them and don't know what they mean?
So the PSA is a prostate-specific antigen. It is a substance that's produced by some cells in the prostate gland.
And is it necessary to have that test along with the rectal exam?
So the screening, as it is right now, is you get a digital rectal exam, which is you get your prostate itself examined and you get the blood test done. So it's a combination of both. Now, one thing I will say is, with regards to the screening itself, having one of the reasons why I keep emphasizing the importance of education and knowing where you are with regard to your risks is the process of taking care of someone with an elevated PSA can go along three multiple paths, which is, one, we monitor the PSA, just keep checking, which is watchful waiting. Two, get a prostate biopsy, or go ahead and, if you are diagnosed with cancer, to consider surgery. Now, the thing to remember is that all of those things have their own problems as well. And as such, I want us to be to inform people correctly, which is that none of those things is without its own problems. It's just that it is important for you to be able to make the right decision. You need to know, okay? And that's why we encourage people to engage in that discussion with their physician, is what are my risks? What do I need to know? And what do I need to do? Would you recommend this? At the end of the day, it's the patient's decision. What you don't want is the ignorance. That's the problem.
Mike Smith, you've already said you were informed. You had a family history of it, a deep family history of it. Can you talk a little bit about what the process was like for you in terms of your continual recovery? Did you have surgery? What did you go through with that? Or just the process of your treatment?
I think I'm an average person in terms of my emotional maturity. Knowing what I know, when I finally got the word after receiving the biopsy report that I had prostate cancer, I shut down emotionally. I think after my doctor informed me, I didn't hear anything else. That cancer was just ringing in my head. I saw his lips moving, but I wasn't retaining any information. And I think I went through the traditional cycles of loss, and I went through various phases. I was depressed. I was depressed for about 3 months. And I finally got back in the saddle, and I started my research. Part of that process was having a good support system. I had my family, I had my church, I had Men Take 10, the program that meets at Howard University Hospital every month. I got to talk to like men who are going through the same things that I went through. So that was a big help. To Dr. Filani, I'd like to suggest to other doctors that giving that diagnosis, I think patients would be better served that they were given some type of emotional support.
And hold that thought, Mike, because I want to sort of piggyback that as we go over to the other side. Before we leave the HUR side, Clinton Burnside, there is a men's health conference that's coming up June 15th, right?
Yes,
and just tell us a little bit about that real quick, if you can.
Yeah, so on Saturday, June 15th, from 9 a.m. to about 2 p.m., we're going to have a talk where, in fact, we have three physicians that's going to give brief presentations, and then we'll have an open discussion.
And where will it be?
At Howard University Hospital in the Towers Auditorium.
All right. Make sure you get there. And if you're on the phone line, make sure you stay there, because the Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown is next on 96.3 WHUR. We will continue this conversation. 202-319-7810. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. It is a Medical Monday, and tonight our focus is on prostate cancer and making sure men get in to see the doctor to make sure that their prostate is healthy and strong. And how do we do that? How do we get ourselves, including myself, in to the doctor? I cannot exclude myself. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. Filani, when we were going to break, Mike Smith, who is living with prostate cancer, as
Thank
Mike
you.
Told us, said, listen, Dr. Filani, I think one thing that would help is, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Mike, you were saying just helping patients deal with it emotionally, sort of that emotional component to the diagnosis. Is that the doctor's role? Do you have to be a jack of all trades? I'm not a doctor. You are.
100% of the time, that is the doctor's role. And that is why, if you've noticed my conversations with regards to this topic, is that our role is to be there to guide the patient, to give the patient the information and let them be the number one advocate for their own health. The lack of information is what allows people not to make the right decisions. And so, yes, we should, in recommending whatever screening that we're going to do, let the patient get the full picture of what's going on with regards, what are the risks for the screening? What are the side effects of the different tests that will be done? What are the chances of this test being positive? And what would be the outcomes of, or what are the other things that can make it positive, would be a false positive, false negative. Those type of things are things that patients need to have a good understanding of in making their decision with regards getting screened.
And I would think, too, a lot of times, though, that information can be overwhelming. You're walking
yes.
into the doctor's
yes.
office,
exactly.
Mike, all three of you are nodding your head.
That is exactly the point where we have to learn to break it down for the patient in a way that they can understand and not just be talking doctor talk over the patient.
Because we've all been in a doctor's hospital, mm-hmm. a doctor's office, and I know that's been my experience, and I have to keep pushing back. And as a journalist, it probably doesn't help that I'm in there and I'm going, make make it plain. Mm-hmm. And so you're asking a lot of questions. So mm-hmm. I think we all have experienced that. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to those phone lines with our next caller. Steve is calling, right? Go right ahead, Steve, with your question or comment.
I was calling. I had the procedure like 5 years ago, and you were talking about keeping it healthy. What can I eat or what can I do to keep my prostate healthy?
Great question.
That's a very good question. So it is important that we recognize that when we talk about food is health, when we talk about exercising, when we talk about eating your fruits and vegetables and eating healthy in general, those things will help you overall. With regards, if you notice that you're having symptoms with regards to urination, things that with regards delay in the process of you being able to urinate, those are things that you need to get addressed quickly. But with regards eating healthy, exercising, not smoking, and being careful with regards to your overall health, those things will help you with regards to your prostate health as well.
Mike Smith, are you a D.C. native?
Third generation.
So you're way down there. So Mike is from D.C. And Clinton Burnside, I'm looking at a statistic here. The District of Columbia leads the United States in the number of men diagnosed with prostate cancer and number of deaths from prostate cancer.
Yes.
Mike is living, but Mike's in that category of being diagnosed with prostate cancer and being a district resident. What is in the water, for lack of a better term, in the district?
Well, I mean, I think that's a very good question that, unfortunately, I don't think there is one clear answer for that. Mm-hmm. I have to kind of go back to what we've said before. I think education is the key in just getting men to better understand what their risk factors are and then empowering them to go to their doctor and have the conversation so that they can take the next step. And I think we do a good job at it here at Howard in terms of some of our programs. Like Mike mentioned earlier, our Men Take 10 program. So that's an education and early detection program where we educate the community and offer health screenings. And in addition to that, we also have a support group. So in terms of like the mental piece of it, you know, after that diagnosis, even before the diagnosis, we have men that we just come together and just have conversations about it in a language, again, that you understand.
And is all of that outreach really a byproduct of these numbers that we're talking about, these statistics, a reaction to it?
I think so. I mean, because overall, you know, the numbers are still relatively high, but we are seeing a decrease in those numbers of incidents and mortality rates are starting to decrease. However, they're still much higher than we really want them to be.
Let's go back to the phone lines with our next caller with his or her question or comment. William is on the line. Go right ahead, William.
Well, good afternoon, and my name is William Battle. I'm president and founder of Emmanuel Health Education. I want to say hello to Brother Clinton there. We attend the same church.
Yes, sir. How's it going?
I'm going well. Thank you guys very kindly for having this conversation, this discussion. I couldn't agree with you more in terms of education, advocacy, and screening. They tend to be our first defense against this disease. I'm in the state of Maryland, and in Maryland, prostate cancer, particularly in Prince George's County, tends to be mostly high in incidence and mortality. And so, real quick, I just want to share with you guys one of the things that we're doing, September's Prostate Health Awareness Month. So we've planned a bicycle ride that focuses on prostate cancer in Prince George's County. And we want to just sort of put that out there, and hopefully we can merge with you guys and communicate in terms of getting folks out for the bike ride, because awareness is important, advocacy is important, education is important. I couldn't agree more with what you and what you guys are talking about here with this prostate cancer. And so the numbers in Prince George's County and in Maryland, for example, in the state of Maryland, there's 24 counties in Prince George's County mostly have the highest incidence of mortality of prostate cancer than any other racial group. So across the board, as it relates to African-American men, we're having this issue. So as a community-based organization, we're just out trying to bring about awareness and advocacy and education and screening. We're going to have free screenings going on out there. The bike ride is going to be a 20-mile ride, a 42-mile ride. So, you know, Clinton, you and I, we cross each other in church at times. Maybe we can talk more about it. But, again, thank you guys for what you're doing and the community and the education, the conversation that you're having, because we need to have the conversation. And it's actually the million-dollar question. How do we get men into getting themselves screened? How do we?
Well, let's jump back into that question, William. And he's got a lot of things going on, a lot of outreach, right? And yes. I want to go back to this, the Howard University's Cancer Center Men's Health Awareness Club. Mike, you're a part of that?
Yes.
Tell me about that and the role it's played in your continual living with cancer.
I often joke that this is the closest that I've been to an AA meeting. When I first came in, I said, my name is Mike. I have cancer.
Was that difficult?
No, because I had gotten to the point of acceptance. And I was anxious to speak to other guys about it as well. So I'm an open book when it comes to that issue because I think it's important for the community to understand. And as a matter of fact, I created my own ministry around improving the health in our community. So when I meet some guys, I would say, hi, my name is Mike. What's your PSA? And they look startled when I ask that, and it leads into a deeper conversation. But the Men Take 10 program here at Howard University Hospital has been very supportive. They bring in a cadre of personnel, doctors, dietitians, specialists to come in and speak to us. And we talk very frankly. We talk about diet. We talk about sex. We talk about other issues that are affecting men as they grow older. These are very important issues, but men typically talk about sports. You got the NBA championship. They'd rather talk about that right now than anything else. Talk about jobs, cars, clothes, but no one wants to talk about health.
I think that's a very, very important point you just brought up, because I think the conversation actually should be bigger than prostate cancer.
Exactly.
Because amongst men, one of the challenges, if a woman has a health problem, she's going to go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But we find that men are reluctant to go to the doctor, even when they get to the doctor. I've had patients who, they're sitting down in the room with me, the significant other or the wife is sitting down there, and she's the one doing the talking.
Yeah.
She's like, don't you remember this happened to you 2 weeks ago? Don't you remember? And I said, oh, yeah. Question, what if she wasn't there? There are a lot of, I've had patients who they didn't bring anything up. And then I get a phone call from the wife that, did you talk to him about this? Did you talk to him about that? And it is a very important thing to bring up that we need to talk about health issues. When you look at healthcare disparities, one of the problems with it is the fact that there's a low level of health literacy amongst African Americans. And it is because we don't talk about health issues. We like you said, we talk about basketball, we talk about football, we talk about politics, but we don't focus on things that are personal. And that's a barrier that we definitely have to break. This is Men's Health Month, for example. Ask a question. What is it that you want to know about yourself? Do you know your blood pressure? When was the last time you got checked for anything? Things that you do on a daily basis that may be killing you that you don't know. It is important for us to have that conversation.
But Doctor, this conversation is so timely because just today, Mayor Bowser, right, she introduced a bill and a commission now to look at disparities economically and racially, which she says the health divide in the district, specifically to east of the Anacostia River, right? And so is that about, and I'll open this up to all three of you, is that about education, or is it economics in terms of having access, having insurance, being able to go to the doctor without it costing you a fortune or the emergency room turning you away? Is that a problem? That's a concern.
Yeah, Bermonte, we were talking about that in the waiting room. And growing up east of the river, I'm very sensitive to it because we just don't have the services and the conveniences of west of the river. We understand that the health care providers or the institutions are no longer existing. They're moving west. That's a serious concern. And I was just telling the gentleman that if education is the issue and we don't have it, if east of the river was not such a food desert, we would at least be eating correctly, unbeknownst to us.
Yes.
We'll be eating correctly, and we could perhaps mitigate a lot of the issues that we're experiencing right now. But because we're ignorant, I'm not saying that pejoratively, but we don't know. So we eat what's available to us in our immediate environment, and it's not always good.
So that's absolutely true, because when you look at the social determinants of health, you look at what's this person's level of literacy, level of education, what is around this person economically, what can they afford. Those things actually play a significant role in taking care when it comes to healthcare disparities with regards taking care of hypertension, diabetes. He talked about a food desert. Whoever you are, you will eat what's available to you. Now, that makes it extremely difficult for you to control your blood pressure if you're trying to cut back on salt, if you control your blood sugar, if you're trying to cut back on sugar, when all you have around you are places that supply you with a readily available supply of these things.
And oftentimes with the sugar, with the salt, that's cheaper food.
Exactly.
I won't name any of the fast food places, but we all know that. Exactly. We are going to continue this very, very important conversation. We're going to take a quick break. We are talking about prostate cancer and prostate health, but as our guests have said, it is a broader conversation, right, in terms of health care and taking care of yourself, men, getting to the doctor, and how do we get ourselves there. So all of that is under the umbrella in our conversation tonight. This is the Insight segment. We're going to continue this conversation after this quick timeout. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we're talking about men's health, going to the doctor, eating right, exercising, taking care of your prostate, combating cancer. All of that is part of our conversation, and we have a wealth of information for you in terms of the folks who are joining us tonight for this conversation. Dr. Oladone Filani. I knew I skipped a syllable there. Oladone Filani, a doctor of family medicine with Howard University Hospital, Clinton Burnside. He's a senior outreach coordinator with Howard University's Cancer Center. And Mike Smith, former patient with Howard University Cancer Center. And he is living with prostate cancer. Clinton, I want to go to you first. There is a general sense that the doctor has already said, you know, and that men are reluctant to go to the doctor. There's even a stronger sense that black men are resistant to go to the doctor. Is there some truth to that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting because we kind of talked about this in the lobby as well. And it's interesting because I did a presentation earlier today and I had a gentleman to tell me, you know, well, I'm hearing a lot about going to the doctor and doing this and doing that. But honestly, I'm not sure I want to know, because I feel once I find out there's a problem, then it's going to get worse and I'm going to die. And so part of what I have to do is kind of help them to understand, well, if there is a problem, it's going to get worse, whether you knew about it or not. So it's much better if you find out about it and do get early detection. That's the key. That's what saves lives, as opposed to waiting until later on when you really start having problems and issues, and then you go to the doctor and it's well advanced. So we want to prevent that from happening.
Mike Smith, I am reading Michelle Obama's book now, Becoming, or listening to it. I've got the audio version, which is just great. You pop it in the car and you get all the information. And I just hit that segment where her dad had passed away, and her dad had multiple sclerosis, and I think he may have had some other issue. They weren't sure if it was tied to it, but she got the sense he was 55 and he would never go to the doctor. He was diagnosed with MS, but he wouldn't go for any kind of treatments, and they tried to get him to go to the hospital. So do you think Michelle Obama, the first lady's father, is emblematic of African American men and their resistance to go see a doctor regularly?
Yes, because Michelle Obama's father was a member of the Greatest Generation, and that generation had known about the Tuskegee experiment. Mm. And that just cast a negative perspective about health care.
Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, those were men who had syphilis, and the government decided not to treat them, just to kind of see what would happen if they went without treatment, and the men thought they were being treated.
Yeah, that whole slave mentality. We were being treated as lab rats. Specifically with the prostate exam, I find black men being very resistant to having that DRE or digital rectal exam.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Put it plainly, a finger in the anus.
Right.
To check the prostate. You're not gay. and it's very quick. I prefer the finger as opposed to living with the negative consequences of late detection and trying to get through daily at the last stages of cancer. You know, when I ask guys about that, you know, they would eventually yield and say, I'll get the exam. But that is one little thing.
Well, at least you're being an influence in that sense, and letting them know, to your point, right? You know, one finger or a lifetime
misery.
Not a right. 202-319-7810. Phone lines are open. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have a caller on the line. James, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, my question is, if prostate cancer is prevalent in families and among African American men, how often should we get a prostate exam? Because I got a PSA done 4 years ago, and then the following year I had an actual prostate examination, but haven't had one done since August of 16.
Great question, Doctor. How often should we be getting those exams?
So that's a great question, James. The answer to that is it's a combined answer, in the sense that one is, do you know your risk factors? Do you have a family history of prostate cancer?
Like Mike.
Like, yes. Mm-hmm. And is that something that, are you aware of the things that will need to be done? If your test results comes back positive, that's a conversation that even when you do get your testing done, it's not just about knowing the numbers. It's about understanding that when you do get the test done, there are other things that may need to be done to confirm the diagnosis. You need a prostate biopsy. That itself has its risks. Those are the other things that you will also need to know. The current recommendation by different organizations is, have that conversation with your physician and know your risk. That is what will help you make the right decision with regards you and where you want to go with regards to your diagnosis.
So there's not a general rule, like, say, a colonoscopy once you're over 50?
So between the ages of 50 and 70, mm-hmm. that's where even having the conversation takes place.
But should you, as a general rule, have mm-hmm. that exam every year?
The ideal is to have the conversation and, based on your risk assessment, determine what you want. It's at least every year.
Oh, every year. Mm-hmm. Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We have another caller on the line. Let's go to that caller. Nope, no caller on the line. But the phone lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mike, you wanted to piggyback?
Yeah, I just want to comment on James' question, because I know, and I knew at the time that I had a family history, I was proactive. Mm-hmm. As Dr. Filani expressed, it might be recommended once a year for the average guy. I knew I had a history. So I had myself tested at least twice a year.
Mm.
I went to Howard University Cancer Center. Mm-hmm. They offered it once a month mm-hmm. without charge. Even though you have medical insurance, you're still welcome. So I would be tested at least twice a year, three times a year if necessary. And I was so fortunate that the program was available. I saw the increase in my PSA, and I went to my doctor, and he recommended a biopsy. And the rest is history.
And is that still available, Clinton?
Yeah, I was just about to say, that's actually a very good point. But yes, the Mentake 10 program, it's still available. We don't offer it every month anymore, but you know, several times a year we do offer it here at Howard. But we also have a mobile unit in which we take out into the community as well, which is also very helpful for the community. And the one thing that we love to do with that program is a lot of the men that utilize that program, they come back several years later, if not every year. And what we're also doing is once you come in and get screened, when we mail you a copy of your results as well as recommendations, mm-hmm. but we also show you your history. Mm-hmm. So every time you've been screened with our program, we show you those numbers, because that's also just as important as a one particular screening number.
And that's a fantastic program, but I'm going back to some of the earlier comments you all talked about being educated and also knowing what's out there to be available. And I guess that comes to you, Clinton, right?
Yes.
For folks, to let folks know what's there for them.
Absolutely.
And free.
Yes, yes. It's free to the uninsured.
Uninsured, okay.
Yes. So if you do have, I mean, we still welcome everyone, though, but for uninsured individuals, it's completely free. And again, you know, you come in, we provide some education to you and help you understand your risk factors. Then you get the PSA or prostate specific antigen, which is just a simple blood test, as well as a digital rectal exam. And within about 2 weeks, you get the results, a copy of your results, as well as recommendations from one of our urologists at Howard. And we encourage you to follow up with your own primary care. If you don't have one, we encourage you to come back to us, because with our program, in addition to the screening piece, we also have patient navigation services we can offer you, as well as the Men's Health Awareness Club, which is a group of men just sitting around talking about, you know, kind of what's bothering them or what health issues they may have.
Dr. Filani, we do know, in terms of being healthy, if trying to combat cancer, it's not just going to the doctor, right? It's the things that you literally can do. If you're a smoker, stop. If you're a drinker, cut back, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't eat well, eat better. Talk a little about the things that we can control to give ourselves a better chance.
That's a great question. And I want to go back to what Mr. Smith said earlier about when you asked the question about do men find it difficult to go to the doctor? These are things that you can do to prevent chronic diseases in general. You know, if you smoke, we know that smoking is the number one killer when it comes to health issues in this country. So quitting smoking, the earlier you quit smoking, the earlier you start to reverse some of the effects on the lungs and the different parts of the body. We know about exercise. You know, just doing 30 minutes of exercise a day, 5 days a week, and we're not talking about you bodybuilding to try to be the next Mr. Olympus. No, it's simple things. Taking a walk, you know, just doing some stretching, getting some strength in your muscles. We talk about eating healthy. You know, we were talking earlier during the break that, you know, you want to make food medicine rather than medicine food. The question is, what does that mean? If you eat healthy, the less likely that you will need medication to combat the problems that the bad food that you're eating will bring to your body. So doing things like that, simple things like that on a daily basis. And it's not the one time that you had an apple 3 years ago. It's what you do on a regular basis.
And that's the hard part. Those are good takeaway points. Eat better, stop smoking, sit the alcohol down. Before we go, the music is playing. Clinton Burnside, some of the things that are coming up, and for our listeners out there who want to find you or the organization and how they could and get more information.
Okay, a lot of the information is actually on our website, which is www.cancer.howard.edu. But just some things I want to point out, we have our next Men's Health Awareness Club that's coming up on next Wednesday, June 12th. Then our Men's Health Conference, our first annual Men's Health Conference, on next Saturday, June 15th. And then we have our next Mentake 10 screening date on next Wednesday, June 19th. And then we have another community event coming up on June 29th, which is called the Man Cave.
So there is a lot going on. It's out there for you. He is Clinton Burnside, Senior Outreach Coordinator with Howard University Cancer Center. He is Dr. Oluduni Filani.
Good job.
All right. Doctor of Family Medicine with Howard University Hospital. And he is Mike Smith,
former patient with Howard University Cancer Center, living with prostate cancer, and a third-generation Washington, D.C., east of the Anacostia. We thank you all for joining us. Fantastic conversation.
Thank you for having us.
That's the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. For this Monday, June 3rd, I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The Connection is next. Have a great night.